New England is filled with more than 65,000 miles of river, but only about 360, or less than 1% of those miles, have achieved a rare national distinction, wild and scenic. These are rivers designated by Congress as having a special natural and cultural importance. Connecticut Public Radio's Patrick Scahill recently went out on one such river, the 8 Mile, in southeastern Connecticut.
The trees are dense, the path is narrow, and everywhere there's the sound of water. I hike to a clearing and hear it dashing against rocks below, clouds of mist wafting over my trail. This is Devil's Hopyard State Park, a place I've always thought had one of New England's more unique names. So I asked my guide, Rob Smith, where it came from.
I mean, there's lots of different tales.
Smith was a park manager here for about 10 years, and he says the mist coming off the falls can get a little spooky.
They attributed the potholes to the devil as he was coming up, climbing up over the rocks here, getting his tail wet. And his cloven hoofs, as he leaped from place to place going up the falls, created these potholes.
Today, Smith and I are exploring a part of the park where the 8 Mile River runs through. It's a watershed that's 40,000 acres of forests, fields, and fast-flowing cool rivers. It's a beautiful spot. So pristine that in 2008, Congress designated parts of the area wild and scenic, one of only 10 spots in New England to carry that title. Why wild and scenic?
This area isn't on the way to any place.
Tony Irving is one of the many volunteers who worked to get that designation, and he says the 8 miles distance from cities like Hartford and New Haven kept the area looking like Connecticut would have before Europeans settled here.
So it was sort of an area that didn't really get developed at all.
Sort of, because there was some development, just not much. As we hop in a car and travel from the 8 Mile's western branch to its eastern side, Irving and Smith explain how colonists had a lot of trouble farming here. The soil was rocky, which made it hard for villages to expand, and when the West opened up, populations dropped. Still, as I learned a few miles later, some families stuck it out.
We're walking down what was the original road through here.
David Bingham says his family's history on this land in Salem goes back to the mid-1700s. As we walk down an old path toward a century-old bridge, that history is alive, pillared in nearby sugar maples which tower above New Forest.
You can see along the old road here, you can see the large trees, which were once the shade trees for the road itself. And so this would have been the main thoroughfare when my father was young.
As we talk, a tiny winged visitor interrupts us.
Found a little bug on your neck here. There we go.
Don't worry about it. That's damselfly.
Very pretty.
It's actually fun to watch them come, and they actually slap the water in the stream.
Bingham points out wildlife. There are state-listed rare plants, which help the area get its wild and scenic title. There are invasives, which present new challenges, and then there's just the beauty. As we talk, a turkey vulture soars overhead, and between the natural sounds and flowing water, it's hard to leave. But Tony Irving has a schedule to keep. He's eager to show off the river.
Okay, well, on to our next spot, which is going to be the Ed Bills Pond Dam.
In the car, I tell Irving I actually visited this spot back in 2015. Back then, the 80-year-old Ed Bills Dam was holding back a lot of water, creating a big pond in the river, which Irving says sat unshaded, baking in sunlight.
It was literally warming up the rest of the river.
That was bad news for fish like trout, which prefer the 8 miles colder water. So conservancy groups took the dam out and basically rebuilt this part of the river, using old photos to see how it flowed and recreating its path with rocks and other guiding pieces of armor.
To sort of talk the river into saying, yeah, you remember this? You remember this? Well, we're going to just help you remember a little bit more by putting a little armor here to help direct that water flow.
Water which flows down to where the east and west branches of the 8 Mile River converge, what's called the river's main stem. Now, we're at the end of our journey. A short car ride takes us to a dam and an old mill that's really close to the terminus of the river. We're near Hamburg Cove, where the 8 Mile dumps into the Connecticut River, about 8 miles north of Long Island Sound. That's where the 8 Mile gets its name. Irving lives nearby. He moved here a while back, and he's never stopped appreciating the river.
Oh, this is my church. It really is my church.
Giving him a spiritual connection and, he says, an ecological one, a diverse array of wildlife and habitat, all of which combine to make the 8 Mile River wild, scenic, and maybe a little mystical. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Patrick Scahill in Hartford.